If that ever happens to you on the first date, something happens on the way to the first date, you see a dog get hit by a car,
pay attention.
Turn around, go home. Turn around, go home.
Run.
Hey there, gals.
Hey there, gals.
And welcome back to the episode of The Gals Guide. We are a dating and lifestyle podcast.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Emily.
Happy Monday, and get ready, ladies and gents. We have a story.
I feel like I have influenced so many people to check this out on TikTok. And
me included.
Yes. And I'm hoping that majority of the gals have seen it. But in case you haven't, it is both of our captivations, but yes, it's mainly the majority of the inspiration for today's episode. We're going to recap the entire thing, but it is the Who the Fuck Did I Marry TikTok series by Risa Tisa. And it is a 52 video like playlist on her TikTok. And like these videos are 10 minutes each. So about 8 hours worth of content that I watched. And I did not.
Day.
I didn't fast forward. No.
We didn't even like double time it. Like we all showed up for work.
This is how I spent my President's Day off of work, was cleaning and watching this. And
this is how I spent every single literal like moment that I wasn't working or doing something. Like I had it propped up while I was getting ready. I had it on my like car mount in the whatever it's called, the air conditioning thing. Like
I was loving it. It was so easy to tune into because it just felt like you're on a FaceTime with a friend. One, she's an immaculate storyteller, and I'm going to attempt to read off a summary of the entire thing in case you have no idea what we're talking about, but you want to be informed, you want to like know what's going on, and or you just don't simply want to watch 8 hours worth of videos, I understand. We're going to attempt to do a summary, but I'm going to warn you that it's not going to be just as great as listening to the actual TikTok series. I would highly recommend you guys go and watch it. We will leave a link in the show notes. And if you want to watch that first and then come back and listen to this episode, that is totally fine. That's honestly what we would recommend. But if you don't want to, we're still going to summarize it. She's just an immaculate storyteller. And I think there's a lot of people at first that were debating whether or not this was real. And my response was, one, I think it's real because I know men who have done some of the craziest shit ever, like who have done absolute insane things to the girls that they have been with, the girls they're dating, and just in life in general. And so I fully believe it. But if on the rare chance that she's lying, baby, she's an amazing storyteller. And I didn't turn on my TV the entire day. I didn't look at another TikTok.
Literally. I know. My For You page was not getting any heat for me. Like, I just, like, clicked on that playlist, and I was just, like, and I love that it, like, went to the last watched, and it, like, had it all, like, ready for me to go, and I didn't have to scroll. It did its thing.
Yeah.
It was great.
I downloaded TikTok to my iPad for the first time just so I could watch it on my iPad and text one of my other friends who was also watching it at the same time.
Yes.
But, I mean, as somebody who's ADHD – you got me to watch 8 hours worth of content. That is insane. But it's also because I can hyperfixate on something, and that's all I've hyperfixated on this entire week. And I've, because she did a live and I rewatched the live, and then so many other characters have started coming out of the woodwork and like doing lives. And I'm like, yes, this is the only thing that I want to talk about. It's the only thing I want to watch. So that is why we're doing a whole episode dedicated to it. So you don't have to, but I highly recommend go give her more views. Go, please. Because you'll hear she's been through a lot and deserves the world, but she's also just an immaculate storyteller and just kept me tuned in for so long.
Well, and like I wasn't confused ever. Like I was able to follow the story and follow the characters, and she would like kind of recap a little bit as we went and would say, remember that, we're going to get to it later. So I'd like make a mental note instead of someone who's just rambling and like there's no good progression.
And if you're wondering like why she made this, so, and basically what the story is about, we're going to get into it all. But essentially, it was who the fuck did I marry? And it all deals with the fact that she was married to a man who was a pathological liar and a narcissist. And I have had my fair share of pathological liars. I lived with one my freshman year of college. And I will get into that as well, too. And I've been debating making my own TikTok video of the whole thing after watching Risa Tisa's. It will not be a 50 long. It will not be 50 videos. Mainly because my situation happened over 10 years ago. So it's a miracle if I can recall anything. But I do know with my pathological liar situation, we did confront her, me and a group of friends who we all realized that she was a pathological liar. We kind of tallied up all the lies that we thought we had been told. And it was me coming to my friends at the time being like, hey, like, I think so and my roommate is a pathological liar. I think she's been lying about all this stuff. And they're like, we've been thinking the same thing. But like no one wanted to talk to anybody else in the group and say it because it's just an awkward thing to like kind of bring up. But then there was such a relief when we all were like, oh my God, okay. And especially I think they were also afraid to talk to me about it because I was living with her. Everybody else was just on the hall with me.
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, no, yeah, like I've been thinking this for quite some time now. I just didn't know how to bring it up. And so one night we tallied up all her lies, and I wish I still had that piece of paper. But it is on my old laptop, which is on its last leg, and that's back in North Carolina. So maybe Hannah, if you go over to my parents' house and get it, I can give you the passwords to everything and you can uncover it for the gals. But it is an hour and a half long video.
I've seen it.
Yes.
I remember when I came to visit you, we like watched it together and I was just like, oh.
I used to joke that I should submit it into Sundance and like maybe I should. Like it is a full on 90-minute feature film. The entire time it's on my laptop. We opened up photo booth. The entire time the camera's facing one of the girls in the group. We'll call her, I don't know, like every name in the entire world just escapes my
Susie.
Head.
We'll call her Susie.
The entire time the camera's facing Susie. And Susie was very much at the time like a moderator in a way because she was so new to the friend group. So she didn't really have like much stake into the game. And so you read expression on her face so well. Like it is amazing. But her whole point was to moderate this entire confrontation. And we're sitting in my dorm room. Like it was me, Susie, Annabelle, and like another girl all sitting on my bed across from my roommate. And I'm using all fake names, just by the way. But it was all of us just sitting on my bed confronting her about this situation. And at no point did she ever fess up to any of the lies. One of the main lines being that she lied about having cancer. She said she had non-Hodgkin's leukemia, which is not a real cancer. You have non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Or leukemia. And there's various types of leukemia, but none of them are non-Hodgkin's because it's not a two-for-one kind of deal when you get cancer. That was the biggest one, and it really affected a lot of people in the group because it was almost like we were being gaslit into thinking that that was a real type of cancer. And I was like, I know for a fact, like I have Google. That's the thing. I have Google. If you're going to lie about having cancer, make sure it's a real type of cancer. But I have Google. One of my mom's best friends is an oncology nurse, works with cancer patients. And then one of the girls in the friend group, her brother died as a child from leukemia. So that one, it hurt her the most. And it was just absolutely insane. And there were other lies. And I was texting you the other night about a lot of the lies that I had to deal with. A couple of the other lies where she also said that she was like on the like USA lacrosse team, but like not the Olympic lacrosse team because she couldn't qualify for the Olympics. Also, remember how she had cancer? She was apparently was in remission, and so that's why she could go to the tanning bed.
Oh.
That's not how that works. And she beat cancer before all of her hair fell out. So that's why she didn't have to like shave her head and be bald, you know, because you go bald from the chemotherapy and the radiation that you get from that. That's why all your hair falls out. But I don't know how you beat leukemia. I'm sorry, no, Hodgkin's leukemia, this made up cancer. And who knows what the rules are for it when it's made up. But I don't know how you would beat non-Hodgkin's lymphoma or leukemia without chemotherapy. It's not like you can get a transplant for those.
Yeah.
Those are not really like the kind of cancers that you can just easily get. Like, it's not like breast cancer, where yes, there is chemotherapy, but you also have the chance of getting a mastectomy or something like that, where you can possibly have the tumor removed.
Mm-hmm.
And it also not be too big to where it's, you can beat it. Even like my chance, I was at risk for skin cancer because of a mole that was found on me that if left for too long could have led to melanoma. But we found it in time that we were able to get it removed before anything got worse. Like I was 1% of people that was so incredibly lucky that we caught it in the nick of mm-hmm. time to where, mm-hmm. oh, just we take the mole off and then we don't have to worry about anything else. So
yep.
That's not really a thing you can do with either one of those kind of cancers though. She also, I remember she said that her brother went to Harvard, but then when you checked Facebook, it said he went to NC State. And that apparently he had
those to... two different places.
Apparently he had to drop out of Harvard because of his grades, but then he got into NC State.
Okay.
But I don't understand how your grades are so bad that you get kicked out of Harvard, but yet you can still get into NC State, which is a very hard school to get into in North Carolina. She lied about her middle name being a boy's name. Her parents gave her a boy's name. I don't want to say what the name is, but it's a very masculine name. Mm-hmm. It's never been a unisex name ever. But it was a very masculine boy's name. And that was her mm-hmm. birth first name. But she went by her middle name, which was a more feminine name.
Mm-hmm.
Because her parents didn't know if they thought she was going to be a boy. I'm like, well, not like your genitals come in when you're like five or so. Like you're born with a vagina or a penis. Like, it's not really a mystery. And, you know, it's one thing if you want to name your child like Taylor or Alex, which is a traditional unisex name. And then, you know, and I understand like there are parents now that are progressive in that way of like, we don't really want to like, you know, assign gender to our child. So we're going to give them, you know, they usually give them like a unisex name so that, you know, as they get older, if they feel like they're more female or more male, that they can go with one of those. That is not the situation we are talking about. This was also, we are finding all this out in 2011, a different time than now. Let's heavily emphasize on that part.
Yes.
So there was that case. And then she also did not live with me the entire first year of college. She moved in with me in the second semester, because first semester I was living with the bridezilla at the time, who was my ex-best friend.
Yes, I forgot about that.
My ex-best friend was originally my roommate, and then she transferred schools
mm-hmm.
second semester to go be with her boyfriend, who is now her husband. And even though she said that was not the reason she was transferring, but okay, that was the reason mm-hmm. she was transferring. And
absolutely.
I can be mean about that. We I hate her. So...
We don't like her. We don't like her.
So instead of having some random person move in with me, I decided to have somebody from our friend group in the hall move in with me instead. And I will say, like, living in a hall with somebody versus actually living and sharing a room with somebody that's your bedroom, that's your living room, that's your kitchen, that's your study hall. Like,
it's everything.
It's completely different. And you really don't know who the hell you're inviting to live with you. And I remember when my best friend at the time was moving out that night, my new roommate was over here saying that, you know, she got selected to attend the Naval Academy or something, and that, you know, she might have to transfer too. And I'm like, so who am I living with then? Like, what's going on? But she wanted to let me know that she turned them down. And I'm like, really what was happening was that all the attention was on my best friend at the time. And none of it was
the attention on her.
She wanted all the attention on her. That's what it all was, is that she always wanted the attention on her. And I know what you're thinking. Well, maybe, you know, like she stuttered and, you know, forgot. It was, she really meant to say she had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, but, you know, and she suffered leukemia. No, this was not a one-time thing. She repeatedly told people she had non-Hodgkin's leukemia. It is not like a one-time, you know, stutter where you're thinking, you know, like you get confused with the words and you just accidentally say leukemia instead of lymphoma. No. Repeatedly told people non-Hodgkin's leukemia, which is not a real cancer. So
I'm baffled. I'm I've heard this story like so many times,
and we confronted her about it.
I'm still baffled.
We confronted her about it, and she never
lied about that.
She never backed down on it. She never, and I also believe that there were other things. She notoriously stole from Target, and I'm pretty sure she stole some of my clothes. I had to remember I had to start locking my bed, my closet, because when I wasn't there, because I was afraid she was going to steal some of my clothes. She was also disgusting and had horrible hygiene. I remember the day I was moving out, there was a used tampon sitting in the wrapper on her bed.
No.
She also, no. Like, we had a sink in our dorm room, and she would notoriously, like, flush food down it, even though there's no garbage disposal. It's normal sink.
Oh my god!
So it always smells. She had a terrarium, like, you know, where she was growing moss and like its own ecosystem that smelled. I remember she also backstabbed somebody else in the friend group. There was one of the girls in the friend group had a huge crush on this guy on the soccer team, and she. Everybody knew it. Like, everybody knew it. He knew it. Like, that's mm-hmm. how big the crush was. And I remember coming back to the dorm room one day, and he's sitting on my roommate's bed talking with her. And I was like, you know that so, like, Annabelle, we're going to call her Annabelle. You know that Annabelle has a crush on him, and it's like, that's just girl code. That's like the third episode we did of this podcast is like girl code and like things that you shouldn't ever do. Like, and I'm like, you don't think I'm gonna tell her? Obviously I'm gonna tell her. And so
obviously
that created tension. It was like always tension being created that was started and surrounded by her, because she always wanted the attention back on her.
Didn't matter if it was good or bad attention, she just wanted the attention.
She was a terrible roommate in the fact that she would bring random guys back to the dorm room, and I think one guy was homeless, like not like homeless living on the street, homeless in that he did not have a permanent residence and was just couch surfing,
just like, yeah.
And I was like, our dorm room is not, this is against every,
this
like
this is not an apartment,
we
this
lived on a home, we're in an all girls floor, so one, this is against, if our RA found out, like,
school rules, yeah.
Our RA already hates us because we've already created drama earlier in the year with other girls in the hall. Like, don't ever, if you were in high school listening to this and you're about to go to college, avoid an all-girls dorm.
Co-ed if you can.
That's also why.
If you have a choice.
That's also why I never was tempted to ever join a sorority after this.
Oh my god, no.
Because if this is what it was like living in an all-girls dorm, living in a sorority house was too, like, people wondered why I wanted to live alone the next year.
Like, you were scarred. You were like, I don't trust anybody to reside in the same space as me ever again.
I mean, luckily I transferred schools the next year, and yeah, I had a roommate again, and she is by far like one of my favorite roommates I ever had. She was so much fun mm-hmm. and a delight, and I love her to this day. She is such a good friend to me still. And but I did not want to live. I was living with a stranger who was clinically insane and gaslighted us to thinking that we were stupid when we weren't. And oh yeah, I also remember she said she went to like military school, but that girl literally was just an ROTC. You were just an ROTC and on
it's
the drum
not
line.
Military school.
Yeah. No,
not the
it's
same.
Not, no. And so, same. Yeah.
It's really crazy because you really don't realize how much you don't know someone.
She also said she had a Barbie pink Cadillac SUV. I never saw it. And any photos of our car that was posted on Facebook was just a burgundy sedan. I'm like, the internet exists. This you could have gotten away with this lie probably back in like the 1960s. But the internet exists in 2011.
Yeah.
So make it make sense. And if you're going to lie, make sure, like, that is my whole thing. If you are going to lie, if you're going to go to that much trouble to lie, back it up like Legion did in recent Jesus.
I mean, he had the printouts. He had the spreadsheets.
He had the screenshots. He had the printouts. I mean,
she had to do some real sleuthing to find out some of these things. But it also made me realize how easy it is to find out things about people.
Oh,
that's like how easy it is.
Every guy I date from now on.
Background check.
Security, social security number.
I'm going to need social.
I'm not that I'm stealing anything from you. I just want to make sure that you ain't going to steal anything from me.
Requesting open records. Didn't even, honestly, like I'm going to be 30. Didn't even know you could do that. Did not even know you could do that.
And before we jump into this, I am just making a note that we are going to mainly be hitting like the big points of the story. And our order may or may not be correct because, I mean, this is 8 hours worth of content, guys. So we can't cover every single little lie because there is just so much. And I will also say,
both of us were watching it like while we were driving, like we couldn't take notes. Like we did not have the notebooks out. Okay, so guys.
I am reading a summary from Miss Janelle Simmons, who has graciously wrote one. And then I also have other notes that I've taken from TikTok as well. So bear with us in our storytelling. We are not Risa Tisa. We are not the excellent storytellers that she is. If you want a fully detailed breakdown of everything, please go watch her entire series on her TikTok, which we will leave linked in the show notes as well too. But bear with us. Again, like we said, we're not going to have every single lie, and our timeline is going to be the best that it can be because there's just so much we're covering. You got to understand. So without further ado, let's go ahead. Let's get into Risa Tisa's Who the Fuck Did I Marry? Okay, so Who the Fuck Did I Marry? This is a summary that has been, I'm giving all credit to Janelle Simmons. She has written down an entire summary of this very, very well. And we have a little couple notes and bullet points that we're going to add to it. But I just want to make sure that we were including that. And there will be a link to her summary in the show notes as well if you want to read along and see what she said. So she met him in March of 2020, which I'm going to stop right there.
I knew you were gonna go there.
We're not even a sentence in.
March of 2020.
Let me tell you.
A freaking 2020.
I need to know if she met him on March 14th. Well, no, because 2 weeks before, it was 2 weeks before shutdown. So in Georgia.
Okay, true.
This is in Atlanta, Georgia. North Carolina shut down March 14th, 2020. That was the same day I had a first date with the actor. And we all know that fucking story. He's not a pathological liar. He's not as bad as the doctor is. But I did have a date with the doctor in March of 2019.
No. I think the moral of the story is, like, don't date people during a pandemic.
Avoid March. Just, you know how they say, you know how Shakespeare said, beware the Ides of March? Just beware of March. Just
except for March 30th because it's my birthday.
That's fine. Beware of Pisces season, I'm guessing. Like, because that's what it feels
once it turns to Aries, like, we're fine. We're fine.
It's Pisces season.
It's Pisces season. We don't want it. We don't want it. We don't want it.
But that was the first red flag for me. I'm like, March 2020? Okay. All right. Well, oof. We're already off. 2 weeks before shutdown. They met online. So she actually met him on two dating apps. She has seen him on another dating app. She doesn't ever specify which one, I don't think. But on both dating apps, same photos, but two different names. And one was like a nickname of the other one. Right. The entire time she also refers to him as Legion, which is not his real name. We do not know his real name. And I don't feel comfortable. If you look on TikTok enough, you will find out his real name. You also find out what he looks like. However, she did not want that information out there. Other people exposed that. So to be respectful to Risa Tisa, I am not going to say his real name. If you want to go look that up, you are more than welcome to. But out of respect for her, we are not going to do that. We're going to
call him Legion.
We're calling him Legion. That is what she calls him. So she met him on two different dating apps. He had two different names. One was just a nickname and one was his full name on one of the dating apps. They met online, they talked a bit before they decided to go out. On the way to the first date, she blows out a tire, which also, second red flag.
That was God. That's like a bad omen. That's a God. Like, that's God. Like, I really don't want you to go on this date.
And as somebody who is, I've had omens like that, because there was one guy I randomly went on a date with, and on the way to the date, I saw a dog get hit by a car.
Yeah. See, if bad shit like that happens, turn around.
Just, and I still
yeet yourself.
I still went on the date, and it was one of the worst first dates I've ever gone on. And that was the universe saying, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. So first advice, if that ever happens to you on the first date, something happens on the way to the first date, you see a dog get hit by a car.
Pay attention.
Turn around. Go home. Turn around. Go home.
Run.
Turn around. Go home. Just don't. COVID still exists. Say you got COVID and just block them.
And if they offer to come help you, run again.
Because that's the thing. That's the thing. Run again. So he offers to meet her and help her with her tire and pays for it all and everything.
I'm going to stop you right there. Okay. If I'm on the side of the road in the dark with my tire blown out. The
only person I want to see is AAA.
I only want to see AAA. That, or a police officer.
Not even that. I want AAA.
AAA.
I'm
and I'm like, you
it.
Know what? I'm going to be like, listen. If you come, I don't know you, and you're going to come to me on the side of the road in the dark, absolutely not.
I have blown a tire.
That's a murder. That is a murder waiting to happen.
I have blown a tire at night, and I had to pull over.
It's scary. The road.
And I had three men pull over and offer to help me, and I said, nope.
Which I know, like, for the most part, but also we don't know people, but like, I assume it comes from a good place, but I am really stranger dangering that. I'd be like, no, thank you. I'm good. I'm not unlocking doors. I'm not rolling down windows. I am calling my mom. Even if she doesn't live in the same state, I need someone to know what's happening and where I am.
I get it. Maybe you think you have good intentions, but also read the room, especially as a girl alone at night. She does not want a strange man's help.
Yeah.
Like,
I got pulled over one time in the dark in a not well-lit area on back roads on my way home because my tag was expired and I was panicking because I was really young and I didn't know what to do, so I stopped. But my mom was like, don't you ever stop again. You drive home and they can follow you home because just never know.
Yeah.
Like we know about Legion impersonating officers. Like you really never know.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry. Oops. Just, you know, remember that. It'll come back again later.
But to that extent, like, even if it's an unmarked vehicle, you can call the cops and have them check to see that if that is a registered police car that is tailing you. They will know.
Or, like, drive to a well-lit area. Drive to a gas station. Like, pull where there – you need to be around people. So, anyways, when she was telling the story and she got to that part, I was like, I would have, like, panicked. And I would not have told them my location because I don't like that. I would be like, no, AAA's on the way. Like, let's just reschedule.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I, again, like she goes to say in the story, like it makes her look bad and all that. Like, you know, people, you don't, sometimes you don't know how you're going to actually react to things when they happen. But if something bad happens on the way to the date, I think that's the sign.
That's the universe trying to help you and get you
out. That's the sign.
So
that is the sign.
They still went to the date afterwards and talked and hit it off, and they got along so well that at the time the shutdown had just came and they decided that they would move into her 3-bedroom, 2-bath home because he had a studio apartment. We are assuming that he gets rid of that studio apartment at some point. She has no idea. But that's to my recollection that after some time he decides to get rid of it. And she didn't mind because he was paying for everything except her car note, her insurance, and her phone bill. Like all the utilities for the apartment and the rent he was taking care of, which if he had a regular job, that's totally feasible and plausible and not hard to keep up with. And I understand that that was like a drug to her, was being taken care of, having her bills taken care of. Completely could understand that and see that if a man came into my life, moved in with me, and decided that he was going to pay for our rent total, he was going to pay the bills all by himself, I can see how addicting that would be because –
that would be so intoxicating.
I –
you don't have to worry.
Yeah.
Paycheck – you're not living paycheck to paycheck. You can live more comfortably. You can – I don't know. It's just
– especially for someone like me where acts of service is my love language. Like, you were relieving me of a burden and something that I don't have to stress about. Like, thank you. And I, too, would think that that is my soulmate. Like, I fully get that. I especially – even if you don't think you know the person so well and you're not questioning it, like, it's just like you think that this person's almost like an angel to you because they are coming to take away a burden from you, which is your bills. She was happy because she had never had a man like that, and especially if I had never had a man like that either, so I get it. Fast forward, he told her he had 5 siblings, 2 half-siblings that he was close with. He spoke to his oldest brother every day on the phone, every day for almost a year and a half. She never spoke on the phone with him or the brother, but she did speak to him, and he would, like, pass it along, like he's sitting there on the phone saying, like, oh, my brother says hey. And she'd be like, oh, hey, John. And he'd be like, yeah, did you hear that? Yeah. Okay. So things like that. Like, he is full on having these conversations with these family members almost every day. He did.
Which is so wild to me that, like, somebody's – one, I don't talk to my family members every single day. And if I do, it's not –
in the morning too?
It's not for 30 minutes every day. Like, it may be like a, hey, how you doing? Like, but, like, I really don't. Like, I'm a texting gal.
You live in the same state as them, the same city as them, some of them. And, like, this man's waking up at 6 a.m. having these, like, 45-minute long phone calls with his brother every day.
Which also doesn't make sense because he leaves the house at a certain time every day.
Yeah, he was leaving the house at, like, 6 a.m. And so I don't know Atlanta that well.
I don't either. But I just know every time I've ever been, it has been traffic.
That's the traffic thing. So I'm like, how are you also getting to work in time?
Right.
Well,
right.
Also,
even at like
calls.
6:15 every day,
it's going to take you it's like LA. It's going to take you an hour just to get like 9 miles. So all this is, he does have an ex-wife that he is honest about, and she has kids. One's 20 and one is 17, a girl and a boy. They are her kids from another marriage. So they are his ex-step kids. He is apparently still close to them and talks to them quite frequently. So she's caught up in, she feels like she's like associated with his life very well, and that like he's she sees that he's so close to like family that is attractive to her. She loves that. And this girl is very deeply rooted in her religion, and I want to also preface that I think that that indoctrined her to put up with a lot of bullshit as well too. But all this to say, they are living together, they're realizing, you know, that maybe this is still COVID, but like, you know, times are cramped. They want to maybe possibly get a new house. She sees a letter. Keep in mind, this man loves a printer. This man should be working at Staples. He loves a printer.
He's got ink. He's got ink on repurchase by every month.
This man is sponsored by HP printers.
HP printers.
This man is sponsored by HP printers. He is, you know.
He's got staple points out the fucking wazoo.
I would love to know his staple rewards account. Like, I would love to know his staple rewards account. There is a letter from Chase Bank that says that he qualifies for a $750,000 mortgage.
Which, holy shit. Because.
That's hard. Like,
that's
a lot. I don't know anything about buying a house. Like, let me preface that. But
I just know that that sounds like, to me personally, that sounds like debt.
You would have to be making like millions in order to qualify for something that much, because it has to back up like how much you have in your account.
Right. So if you see that number, then you're like, oh, he's got money. He's got
money. Oh, he's got money. Like, bring out the Quinta Brunson like gift.
He's
oh, you got money.
He's got money. Like, okay. And like, to somebody who has lived their life paycheck to paycheck, again, it's that like intoxication of, wow, this is something that I didn't necessarily see in my future, and now I can maybe have a 4 or 5 bedroom house.
And they're like, they start going and touring all these houses that are in that price range. They hired a realtor, Scott, and he's showing them these beautiful houses that,
which is also like, when you walk through luxury like that, like it's really hard to not desire it.
Absolutely. I mean,
especially when it's kind of like just put in front of your face, like, here's what I have. Like, we can do this. I'm willing to do this for you.
I am personally a fan of going like on Zillow and like looking at like the $1 million properties that are in Malibu and just like looking at photos, but going and touring them.
Yes.
At the time there, I will say that it was COVID. And I think for this, the first time they start looking at houses, they're only,
it was more like the virtual. Zoom.
Yeah. It was a virtual tour.
Still, it makes it feel real.
The fact that there's
possibility. When you go and do it, it gives you hope that it's like actually something that's attainable.
Absolutely.
Versus just swiping through Zillow and looking for, you know, whatever your dream home is and all that. But
so he's giving her the kind of like – they find one. He's giving her the kind of like runaround. This one is a – not a new home. Like it's previously been lived in. There's a family that currently lives in it. And – he's kind of giving her the runaround about putting down an all-cash offer for it. Even though he has approval for that mortgage, he wants to put in an all-cash offer. She never really hears much about it. And however, he wants to go ahead and start shopping for appliances. They like find like all these beautiful stainless steel appliances that, like, at the Home Depot and like Lowe's. And they talk to somebody there about putting a hold on it because, you know, the house isn't finalized yet. But, you know, the house that they're moving into, the family's taking all the appliances. They're taking the stove, the microwave, the fridge, all that stuff with them.
Right.
And so they want to get all new ones, but the contract hasn't been finalized yet. Can we put a hold? Can we pay to put a hold on this stuff in the meantime? And you guys hold it in your warehouse until we're ready to move in. Home Depot's like, yeah, sure. People do that all the time. Not a big deal. Not a big deal at all. Cool. Which I didn't know that. So
I didn't either. And that was a nice thing to learn.
Yeah. So she ended up finding out that it was a lie and that he never closed in the house and never did any paperwork with the realtor. How she found that out was she went on Zillow, saw that the house was under contract. She
thought it was him.
Yeah.
Under contract. So she was like, okay, cool.
Scott calls her up and is like, hey, like, any word about this? Like, any word on the house?
Like, what are we doing? What are y'all doing? What do y'all want to do?
And she's like, Legion told me that he put an offer. Like, what's going on? He was like, huh, maybe he put an offer with somebody else in the office. Like, or like, just called the office and told them to put an offer in. Let me double check. Let me do some math. Turns out Legion's been talking to another quote unquote Scott, who is just a friend. And he's a realtor and he wanted him to get the commission. So he's been talking to him conveniently. Spoiler alert, Scott is just Legion. This man got no friends. This man ain't got a single friend to save his damn life.
Scott is just Legion.
This man, he could go on Bumble BFF and still ain't gonna find a friend. Like, there's no hope for this man. He has no friends. And on top of that, you're also wasting this realtor's time.
Wasting so many people's time.
When you're looking at these houses, they have a very high commission rate. And that is what these realtors get their money from.
That fuels them to like keep going and keep seeing that what commission, you're thinking.
Yeah, that commission is what's paying their bills. And there could be other clients that could be interested in these houses that they are taking the time to show you the interest in it. And because obviously, if I'm a realtor, someone's saying, I got cash, I want to put in a cash offer, I'm going to probably go with those clients over any other clients, because if I'm selling my house and I hear that I'm getting a cash offer, that sounds like a better client to like go with. And so they know the realtor feels like they have a better chance, you know, getting a house sold, get a commission. And especially like, depending on the commission, it could be like 10, 20,000 depending on the percentage. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're wasting this person's time and money. And just giving them the runaround. Well, fast forward, it's only like a couple months later. They tried for another house because she gets pregnant. And
this part. Mm.
This was the one that killed me. And found out she was, this realtor is still working with her. The real Scott. Still working with them. Found out she was pregnant April 2020. So they tried for another house. This time, Risa Tisa wanted to get more involved into it, understandably. Mm-hmm. They put in a cash offer for $699,000. He claimed he had been approved through Chase Banks, like we said, for $750,000. She will keep repeating, I saw the paperwork, because she is being told certain things, but she's physically seeing other things. And she is holding this, which I get, if you're being gaslit, you are going to hold physical evidence
so
highly. That's why this man, he's printing out everything, because he knows that she's going to value that physical
But I saw that number. Therefore, of course you have
money. When really Legion is really just good at Adobe Photoshop. I feel like Legion should be teaching classes of Photoshop down at the Atlanta Community College, down at the Clark County Community College. Legion has been taking up Photoshop classes. He's learning about Lightroom. Like, he is learning Adobe Acrobat. Like, he is learning how to Photoshop documents. I swear to God, this man should work for all. He shouldn't work for the CIA, but, like, if it came to, like, forgery of documents and identifying which ones are fake, I'm sure Legion could do it. And he also told her that he had two separate savings accounts. Or three. Oh, three. He had the Chase savings, which she saw.
Yes. He showed her that one.
Yes.
He showed her that one.
Quote unquote showed her. Yeah. The U.S. bank savings and then an offshore account. Never specified who the offshore account was through, though. So when it came time to buy the house, the sellers were willing to accept the all cash offer, but only if he could prove he had the funds. Show the funds. Yeah. Show the funds, Legion. Show the funds. It's all he had to do.
Even the realtor's like, show the funds. Like, we need to see the funds.
And he's like, nah, man. Like, you know, I don't
want them to see how much money I have. Like, I don't want them to come back with a higher offer. Like, and so, you know, he's like, all right, okay.
And it's just, it's baffling to Risa Tisa. It's baffling to the realtor that they don't get it. And so he tells the sellers that, and the sellers are like, okay, cool. We'll accept the offer when you show the funds. Well, I'm not going to show the funds until you accept the offer. So just, like, nothing's going to happen.
Just that, like, back and forth. I mean, it's just, yeah.
So.
And I also thought it was interesting that he wanted to give them such a short amount of time.
Only 24 hours. Offer. Yeah, only 24 hours.
That was sus to me because I was like, in my opinion, that's already setting yourself up for someone to say no, to, like, not accept the offer.
Yeah, because he's putting pressure on them, and he's, like, thinking, it's like, I'm not your girlfriend. Like, you don't have to put me in a, like, a, what is it called? An ultimatum? Like, it's not, this is a house. This is my house. No. So it became back and forth about the showing proof of funds, so the seller pulled out, and so did the realtor. And Risa Tisa was upset and confused because he said that he had the money and the bills were paid for and they never lacked anything, so she didn't understand the issue. Everything else is financially being taken care of, so what is the issue? And around this time, mind you, she's still pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Around this time, she also found out that he was talking to a woman on Facebook Messenger. And she started questioning herself. Fast forward, she has a miscarriage. This was, again, another omen that the universe God was trying to give you to get out so you didn't have any physical ties to this man. Like, believe what you want, but I fully believe that is the universe trying to intervene and help you out.
Yep.
And so I didn't realize there were so many different ways that I honestly thought that if you had a miscarriage, you had to take the pill or you had to get the surgery. I didn't know that you could just naturally wait for it to all come out. Mm-hmm. They don't really advise that because not everything can all come out. And then you do have to go and get a surgery. So she does take the pill. Everything doesn't come out. And she said it's the worst pain of her entire life. And so she still has to go and get the surgery done because not everything was expelled from her uterus. And if it's not all taken out, it could, you know, lead to bigger health problems. So he can't be there to support her, though.
He can't take her. I was like,
you can't take off work. You apparently
you're telling me
you're
that
the regional you're manager the at the time. At the time, I think he's,
whatever. Oh, the regional. I'm so sorry.
No. I think he is the VP at this time. Sorry.
Okay. I was like, I don't know. I can't remember what it was. I'm like, you're telling me that you can't take off to take me to the appointment to do something that's
for the awful. Loss of our baby?
That's awful. I have to figure out someone else to take me?
You're supposedly the VP of this condiment company, which I really want to know what condiment company this is. But you're apparently the VP of a condiment company, and you can't take time off of work to go take your girlfriend to have surgery for your lost baby. And so instead, you're going to send some random girl that you, like, apparently was his sister, which
sister
was not his sister, spoiler alert.
Right.
To go and
assist someone that she has never met. To do something so incredibly personal You're joking.
No.
That would have been it for me. I would have been like, if you literally, you obviously literally do not fucking care about me.
Yeah.
So, and are not going to be there for me in my time of need. Literally.
Yeah.
The worst part was after the surgery.
Fast forward.
Do you remember what happened?
What happened?
When she was in recovery and they told her that she was only supposed to be in recovery for like 45 minutes to an hour and they were calling him and he was like, I'm on my way. She was in recovery for like 3 hours. It took him like 3 hours to come pick her up. I was like, you've got to be shitting me.
I do not want to stay in a hospital bed longer than I have to. And you're taking that long to come get me? Okay.
And like, I think even the like, I think she was saying like, even the nurses and doctors were like, where is he? Like it, yeah. Like it, yes, like Atlanta traffic. Like Atlanta traffic is bad, but it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Like, where are you? You're not where you say you are. It doesn't take that long to get there. So
yeah,
that was awful.
Fast forward, his grandma passes away, and he was sad, and things started changing. By now, she was kind of over the relationship because nothing had changed, and every time they would do something, they never could or did because he had an excuse. He took her to test drive cars because he was told that he could buy a company car for $90,000. Couldn't go over that, but he was going to be wired $90,000, and convinced her that she should get one too because she was driving some beat up Nissan or something, mm-hmm. and she needed a new one. And this girl fell in love with the deep blue BMW X5 with cognac interior. And I hope to God BMW gifts her this car.
Me too. I'm like, listen, this girl deserves the world. Give her this damn BMW.
If you don't know anything about BMWs, one, they're already expensive, like on like, they're not like, you know, a Maserati, but an X5 is a it is one of the higher end ones on the BMW scale, like when you're looking at all their cars. It is a very, very nice, beautiful car. I would love an X5.
I would love a BMW. My mom has one and she loves it. So
BMWs are also incredibly expensive to work on.
I was going to say the repair is pricey. It's why I don't own a Range Rover.
It is one of the most expensive cars to work on. My mom has a BMW. She will attest to that.
Yes.
But so he took her to drive all these different ones. He took her to Mercedes. She didn't really like anything. But he convinced her, even though she won the BMW X5, he convinced her to get an Audi 8 and said it'll be delivered. And she had to take off work. Right now she's working at the – she's just a clerk, I think, at the police station or something. She's working
something involved with like law enforcement officer. I can't remember the exact title, but yes.
Something where she's very closely tied to the law. And dating someone unlawful would be very bad.
I know. not him making her take off work to get a car delivered when he couldn't even take off work to take her to the surgery.
It never came. And he had some excuse why. I don't recall why, nor did I know why. Of course it never came.
Of course it didn't. It'll come that weekend. Never came.
But mind you, this man is leaving work every day at the same time and came home at the same time. He's leaving at 6 a.m. 3 or 4 p.m. is when he's coming home.
That's fishy.
He also ended up losing a couple more family members, apparently. And by the end of the year, he proposed in December. I want to preface the way this man proposed.
Oh, my God. I was irate.
He sits a ring down on the dining room table, doesn't get down on his knees, doesn't do anything, just says, you won't be my wife.
Would literally be like, you gonna be single and say, get the fuck out of my house.
You gonna be homeless, get the fuck out of my house. Like,
you gonna be my wife.
And I give so much sympathy for her because I do too. All she wanted to be was married.
I know.
All she wanted
married
was
and have married. A family. Like and there are girls and women that and even men that I know that had that same mindset and got married so young.
Especially in the South.
And a handful of them are divorced.
Especially
in
the
South. And it was that I so badly want to be married. That almost that pressure, like you were going to say, that pressure to get married.
It is, especially in the South, it is a societal pressure. And also, she's very open about her self-esteem issues that she's always had. When you don't have high self-esteem, don't have high confidence in yourself, like you believe that this is the best you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So take it while you can. And all she wanted to be was married. And I get that. I so get that. And she thought, this man has offered me a ring, which ended up being from fucking Amazon. I'm going to take it. So they get married January 5th. And I quote,
which is my husband's birthday.
I was going to say it's the day before the insurrection, but okay. Completely different topics.
Oh my God. Anyways, continue.
And I quote, we were married on January 5th. By January 31st, I knew I was in trouble.
That is the opening line of her book.
Honestly.
That is.
Because, like, they've been, 2 weeks after they've been married, I mean, like, sex, she mentions that, like, they, you know, they, the love wasn't there, and she's alluding that basically they weren't having sex, and he basically just didn't want to touch her, just was kind of disgusted by her. It was insane, and she really was fucked up from it. She found out he was cheating 3 days later after they got married with a prostitute since November. So,
name Peaches.
Was it Peaches?
It was Peaches. Okay. Because I started singing that Peaches, 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 Peaches.
I didn't know Peaches was another sex worker that came along later. But they decided, I think like only like, was it 3 months into their marriage that they would get marriage counseling? And they did it with a pastor and his wife. And the pastor straight up said, if you had decided on doing marriage counseling before you actually got married, we would have told you, don't do it.
Don't do it and, like, don't be together.
Like, you guys should not be together, basically. And I was like, oh, maybe I should not turn away the idea of marriage counseling before I get married.
And the pastor's wife was like, I don't see y'all making it a year.
No.
Like, they were so honest, which they said by December, was,
they were done.
Which was, I think that was what needed to happen for them to be honest.
So they go into counseling. While all this is happening, I think at some point she's at work and she gets a call that a Dodge Charger just pulled up in her driveway. He's at home. Legion's at home. Dodge Charger pulls up in her driveway and somebody was looking for her. He thinks this is her ex-boyfriend. And she's like, what the fuck? Like, the ex that I told him about, because she mentions that she told him about her ex on their first date, and that was one of her biggest regrets that she had, and that she would recommend no one ever do, which I fully back that up. But she was being honest because he was so honest about his ex-wife, so she thought she would also share.
Mm-hmm.
And she was confused because that ex would never drive a Dodge Charger, and that's the only ex she like ever mentioned to him.
Yes.
And he was like, and he's saying this to make it seem like, you know, she's talking to other men. She's talking to her ex again to make him like feel insecure. And she's just like, I haven't talked to him in years. We don't really talk. He would never drive a Dodge Charger. So she's going through every guy in her head. She realizes that her neighbor has a Ring camera. A Ring camera is always going to save the day in these stories.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she asked her neighbor, can you look on your, the way the Ring camera was faced, you could see in her driveway. Can you look to see if a Dodge Charger pulled up in, or a car in general pulled up in our driveway at this time? No one ever pulls up in the driveway. So so she's starting to put things together. Why would you lie about that? Like, why? And she really was starting to keep track of the lies to see like what excuse, like what things he was going to say next. How was you going to get out of this one? How are you going to get out of this lie?
Yep.
Another thing that he lied about was, you know, things have been rocky. They've been going to marriage counseling. He wanted to try to get better, make things up to her. I'm going to take you to London. This had been her dream trip.
This broke my heart.
Going to London and Paris has been her dream for years. Yep. He plans this whole itinerary with hotel reservations, everything. Prints it out so she sees it. Prints it out. Never follows through on it. Never follows up. Nothing ever goes around. He doesn't have a passport. Nothing. At one point, Risa Tisa decides she wants to get another job. And when she applies for that job, she needs to be able to put down a social security number. Her social security number, and because she's married now, she has to put down her husband's social security number. And back when they got married, he put down one social security number, and she kind of like took that number from the marriage license and did like a whole background check to the system. Nothing ever came up. And she was like, okay, that actually kind of makes sense, because he'd always been very lawful, a law abiding citizen, because he never, he always said that his father was a retired cop. His mom, you know, was very close to the police department. Like, he never he was always the kind of guy to make sure that your tags were not expired, that your lights worked, nothing that would ever get you pulled over. The whole fucking reason is because he didn't want to get caught in any of his lies.
Exactly.
That's the whole reason he's a law-abiding citizen. So she takes that marriage license, social security number, and compares it to the social security number that he puts down on the form that her work is requesting. And they're not the same. So she takes the one that's on the work application, does a background check with it, and finds out that it was registered, that it's been registered that he lived in Rhode Island, Atlanta, and Philly. He always said he was born in Philly and then moved to Atlanta. Never mentioned Rhode Island. But always was very adamant that he lived in California, because that's where him and his ex-wife got married and lived. And that he went to San Diego State.
And played arena football.
That was another thing which I should have opened with. Well, what the fuck is arena football? Do you know this Google search for arena football has skyrocketed since this? It is basically because football's played in a stadium. It is basically football that is played indoors in an arena, and it's smaller and dumb and like basically no longer exists.
Oh, like that was sending me every time she was like, and he, remember, he plays arena football.
Because all the money he had was from his VP job arena football.
Yeah. Well, sign me up for some arena football if I can have an offshore bank account. Let's go.
So California is nowhere on this. And so it doesn't say that he went to San Diego State, nothing. And so she confronts him and was like, you didn't go to San Diego State. He's like,
she called them.
Yeah, she called San Diego State, to check in. And they didn't have any
records. No records.
And he was like,
no records, a legion.
Well, when I went there, my father had me registered as a private citizen so that you couldn't ever obtain my records. Baby, that's not how that works. We all private citizens. That's not how that works.
Does he not think that she's got Google?
I don't know what he thinks. Like, I really don't. I really, really don't.
Man, the excuses, they just keep on keeping on.
So no California, no San Diego. Where the fuck is Rhode Island coming in? That's what she's wondering. In case you were curious, he was married a third time before the other ex-wife. And that's where the Rhode Island one comes into play. Okay. So she discovered he never resided in California, and that the ex-wife was from the ex-wife that he claimed lived in California really lived also in Atlanta, and was filed for divorce in Atlanta. And she finds the marriage records. She finds the marriage license. She gets open records of it all and is able to go through everything. She found an address and number on the most recent ex and called her. And she told her all the lies about everything to get her shit and to run as fast as she could. All this while, she still hasn't left yet.
I know.
They find another realtor. They start looking for houses again. They find another realtor, Amber. Amber is the saving grace hero of this whole fucking thing. Okay. He puts in another offer for a house. And the thing that's killing her is that he's putting in these all cash offers and signing a legal document that he can put in an all cash offer to buy these houses. And Amber's just not putting up with it. Amber's like, no, this is not how we're going to do it.
I need proof of funds, buddy.
I need proof of funds. And so Risa Tisa is like, can you at least show me? Like, at least show me. And he shows her, he looks at his phone, which here's the thing. I'm going to spoil it for everybody. It's screenshots that he took from Google of the checking accounts. Why the this is the only complaint I'm ever going to, I'm trying to give Risa Tisa so much grace. Only thing I would have a problem with. Why the fuck are you not watching him trying to open up the apps? Why is he looking at his phone and then turning it around to show you the photo? I would be watching that motherfucker be like, I'm going to stand over your shoulder. You're going to open the Bank of America app You want to show me the savings? We're you're not gonna like have this secrety with it. Like, we are husband and wife. You were going, what is mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. You are going to show me you opening the app, you logging in, face ID, touch ID, whatever, mm-hmm. into the app.
No.
And so Amber tells her, and Amber's really the hero of this. I say that because Amber tells her, I'm not going to do with this. You can, if he wants to show the proof of funds, then we can go through with buying these houses. But if you want to buy a house with him, or if you want to buy a house with me, I'm here for you. Basically kind of giving her like, you know, a hey.
Like a woman to woman, like.
I don't think he's real. I don't think he's legit.
I think this is weird.
But if you want to come back and buy a house with me.
I got you, boo.
Let's talk. Let's talk. And so she starts, you know, digging up more information. All this time, he finds out. He tells her, Legion tells Risa Tisa, that his ex-wife's stepdaughter, has passed away. And that the mom wanted to know if they could help with $2,000. And Risa Tisa agreed because she's not evil. And she doesn't play with death. And so she ended up, you know, so this is when she calls the ex-wife. And that's really, I think, when all hell broke loose. And the ex-wife was like, I know if you're calling me, things have gotten bad. And she says that, you know, he told her all these lies. And, you know, they never lived in California. And I think the last question that right before she gets off the phone with the ex-wife, is how is her daughter? And she says her daughter's fine. This man,
she said she didn't have the heart to tell her what he said.
Which I wouldn't
either. And so she was like, why, what did he tell you about my daughter? And she was like, just that she had caught COVID and wasn't feeling good,
and she had no communication with him, with Legion whatsoever,
right? Like that her stuff. Yeah.
And so Risa Tisa was flabbergasted, and she also found an obituary online that said his grandma had passed in 2008, not 2020 like he did. And during this time, all this time, his knee was giving up on him for some reason, and he couldn't really move around, and so he was bedridden. And by this time, it was May 2021, she had also discovered another obituary that said he only had two brothers, because at the end of obituaries, it always says this person was left by so-and-so and so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
This whole time, he said he had five siblings, remember that.
Yep.
And two of them were sisters, and he had often talked about his sisters all the time. He never had sisters. In fact, he had a twin.
That was the part of the story.
Of course, he's an evil twin. Of course, Legion is the evil twin, and the other twin,
oh my God,
had the life that Legion wanted, where that guy was like making money, had the cars, had the wife, had the house, had the kids.
Literally, when that part came out in the story, I was like, you have got to be shitting me.
So she ended up confronting him on his birthday and asked him.
Which I low-key loved.
Of course, which also his birthday is June 17th, which is hello fucking Gemini. Of course. Of course he's a Gemini. And so she confronts him again about the college. And he was like, I told you. And she was like, but she's so calm when she does it. You didn't go to San Diego State. Just so calm.
I know.
And she was like, she knew he was lying about everything. And she said that she knew about everything and told him to get the fuck out of her house. And he ended up calling an aunt, quote unquote, and told him, I'll give you the money to go home and to if you just leave her house, which is Philly. There was no aunt.
And she's over there like, he don't need the money. He's got it in his offshore account.
Yeah. So he left. The aunt was really his mom's best friend.
Best friend? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was, this whole time, you know, before he left, she's cleaning up the house. He had been so lazy, and he had laid in a room, you know, the guest room. Because they weren't sharing the bed anymore because his knee had been given out. He had been laying in this room using Powerade bottles to use the restroom. And she was disgusted. But she didn't care. She wanted him gone. I don't give a fuck. If your knee's fucked up, get the fuck out of my house. Changed her locks. Changed her alarm. And at this point, one of the cousins had found her number and called her and asked what happened between them. Because he claimed he caught her cheating with a police officer. And the police threatened him and if he didn't leave. But the cousin said he lied so much that no one believed him. No one in the family believed him. They had all excommunicated him. And they hadn't talked to him in over 7 to 8 years, some even longer, because he had burned his bridges with everyone. Found out he only had two brothers. The oldest he claimed talked to every day. They had beef. So he was on this phone talking to fucking nobody at 6 o'clock in the morning. And he hadn't spoken to them since 2015, so he was making up conversations every day like he was talking to somebody. And the other brother wasn't just his brother, but his twin. And not only his twin, but his twin that actually had a job as a VP at a company with a 5-bedroom, 5-bath house and a BMW. And the life he was making up, this was the whole life he was making up, where he was trying to pretend it was his.
Mm.
He had no sisters, no half-siblings. And so they got a quick divorce. And he was hesitant to sign, but he did. They made it a UPS to sign. And at this, mm-hmm. she said when they were married, he was about a 3XL. At this point, he was probably just an XL. He had lost so much weight. He'd been sit in the same clothes, left only with a couple of clothes when he left. And he had lost so much weight. He smelled. This man had been living in his car. This man was gross. He signed the divorce. So if I remember correctly, he signed the divorce papers without even reading what was on the papers, and it said that anything that had been left inside the house was hers.
Was hers.
So yep. All his watches that were fake, all of his WD wrestling belts were fake, were also hers. Everything in the house. And she didn't really want it. She was just going to, like, get rid of it.
I think she wanted to get rid of everything that he touched.
Oh, yeah.
Furniture, sheets, everything.
Oh, yeah. Just get a new house completely.
Basically.
But also, he tried to move back in with her since he was advised that he could until the divorce is final. The lady he called aunt, the family friend, called her to check on the baby, the one that she miscarried, because she was under the impression that she was leaving him and he was trying to get custody.
I'm not laughing because that's awful.
And she said, where's the baby? Like, he's saying he's going to come to me with a baby. Like, he's taking the baby. He's trying to get custody. And she's like, no, ma'am, the baby does not exist. I had a miscarriage. But this whole time, he had been pretending like he had a baby. She couldn't believe it, and she was shocked. And he was still going around lying. So she comes to find out. She talks to the brother. The brother finds out. And not the twin. She never talks to the twin, but she talks to the older brother. And he says that we haven't ever really talked to him anymore. She sets him straight on everything, that he's been lying since he was a kid. The aunt is flabbergasted that this baby isn't real. And so, apparently, through all of this, she finds out that he does have a criminal record. And so she takes that social security number again and goes and looks it up and finds out that he has been arrested multiple times. And the biggest one that really offended her was that he was arrested for impersonating an officer. And that at this point, she had found a backpack at her house that contained a work phone that he was really just like one of those like pay-as-you-go kind of phones that you can kind of ditch. There were lewd photographs, there were messages to other sex workers on there of him cheating, all this. On top of that, that's where she found the screenshots from the banking. She found the screenshots of the BMW that he was getting.
Mm-hmm.
Found out that he really also wasn't a VP. He was a temp forklift worker at the condiment company. There was no company car. Mm-hmm. He had been telling her, because you're probably wondering why the fuck did she never see the company car? Like, how? Like, where's this BMW that he apparently owns? The company car. He had been parked.
It was a forklift.
That was the company car. Was the forklift? He had been parking the company car at the NCR building in Atlanta, which they lived in Clayton County. So he would drive from Clayton. Someone did the math. He would drive from Clayton County to the NCR building, which is in the middle of Atlanta, to then go to Duluth for work. He would drive there, trade the car. They didn't live in a great part of the city, and he didn't want to bring the BMW back to the house. So he would park it at this building that the condiment company owned, and then would drive it from there to Duluth. Oh, on top of talking to your brother every day for 45 minutes.
So, and driving around your probably ass to get to work.
That is 2 hours in like Atlanta traffic. And yet you still get home at 3-4 o'clock. This whole time I'm thinking this man is just driving to a parking lot and sitting in a parking lot because my friend from college, her boyfriend did that. He lied about having a job. See, this is why I believe her.
I know. Honest,
because I had a friend in college whose boyfriend said he had a job, but every day this man was just selling her designer handbags and then driving and sitting in the Target parking lot for 8 hours. I'm dead ass serious.
I know. I met him.
That's why I believe this woman.
I mean, yes, because there are crazy ass motherfuckers.
Because I also know a man who married one of my friends and then had a whole ass secret family on the side. I'm telling you, I believe all this shit.
I had that too. I'm so, like, it's really not that far-fetched when you think about it. You really don't know people.
I looked it up on Pinterest. You can find these screenshots of fake bank accounts and everything. I found one that said you got $1 million in your checking account. It's a thing. You can find these things. So this man loves a screenshot, loves a printer, as I told you.
Loves a screenshot, loves a printer. And then in that backpack, there were also like receipts from weekend jail.
Which I didn't know was a thing.
What?
Apparently. I wonder if this is just an Atlanta thing. I have no idea.
I don't know. I need to do more Googling about this. But
you can check in. You can work a full-time job, but then check in to weekend jail.
From like Friday to like Sunday. Or like until you go back to work.
So when he's been saying he's been going on these business trips, he really just going to jail.
I did not even know weekend jail was a thing. Weekend jail. And also she found like other like pay stubs from like his other jobs.
Yeah.
Like when he says he was like working for the condiment company for like 6-7 years.
No. You
know, not at all.
Not at all.
Man couldn't keep a job.
No.
And he got fired. He got let go.
Yes, from the condiment company. Yeah.
When he said he quit and moved to Apple, we missed that part. But basically he said, he was like, they're doing weird stuff and I'm going to resign. And then within like a week, he had resigned and went to Apple because his homeboy had a job lined up for him. When in reality, they let him go. So it's a lot of lies.
She finds out that he's checked himself into a hospital for 2 weeks just so he had a bed. So you're taking up a bed of somebody that actually needs it. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And he is continually stalking her, like calling her 30 times a day, texting her. And it gets to the point where she has to tell the cops, like, this man is stalking me, it's harassing me. The divorce is not finalized yet.
According to them, technically,
he's allowed to come home. Like, he's allowed to come to the house.
Which is terrifying.
Yeah.
Might I add.
Yeah. There's no protections for you when you're trying to finalize a divorce like that. And so I understand at the same time, like, you don't want to be kicked out of your house either. Like, because he's allowed to come back there. But she wants to stay in her house. So she makes, since she had a job previously with law enforcement, they work out a deal. Like, if they find out there's a warrant for his arrest, if you see him pull up to your house, give us a call and we'll come and arrest him. So one day he says he's going to come back to the house. She's driving home. She parks her car down at like the edge of the cul-de-sac and is like looking like for him. She has like this Nissan Altima at this point, like, so he does not recognize the car that she has. And so he's sitting in his car waiting, same clothes that he's been wearing for like the past couple of weeks. And she calls the cops. They come. They arrest him very calmly. And she's like, basically tells him, like, I never want to see you again. I never want to speak to you again. So turns out that the warrant was expired. And she's set to move out of the house. The whole time she's been wanting to move to Cobb County. And so she's finally set to move to Cobb County. And her move out date is August 31st. Mm-hmm. Legion's gonna get released from jail on August 30th, and so she tells the movers we have like X amount of time to get me the fuck out of here. And the movers are great; they get her out in time and everything. And the day that he's arrested, she goes and checks the mailbox and finds out that the divorce is finalized.
Yes. Oh, yes. And she said she just had a breakdown,
which I understand,
like a weight lifted.
Yeah. Yeah. And she donates, like, all of his stuff to, like different like shelters.
Domestic shelter, things like that, yeah.
And even though the divorce is not finalized, he's out of jail. He's harassing her, calling her because she's moved, so he can't come back, you know, to find her and all that stuff. And basically, she tells him, like, if you call me again, I will get a restraining order.
And that was the last time they heard from each other. She heard from him, right?
I'm fully aware that my storytelling is not as good as Risa Tisa's.
There's also so many much. things to remember and the timeline, like, it is so she if you really want like detail time, go listen.
Because I'm not going to do her. I'm not doing her justice, I don't think, at all. Yeah. But that's just because there's so many lies that we're keeping up with.
Right. Right. And it, honestly, the moral of talking about the story is just, like, be careful. Like, get to know people that you're dating.
Don't move in with somebody. I don't care. I understand the pandemic situation. You want to quarantine. That pandemic should have also been an omen for you, too, not to be with this person. Because I also know other people who were in relationships with people during the pandemic, and they moved in after knowing each other for 2 weeks. And that relationship also backfired and ended in a burning flame of fire. So don't move in with anybody as soon as you start dating. You don't know that person. That person's a stranger to you.
It's giving the roommate vibes.
That film. The film, not my roommate. Okay.
Oh, no. Your roommate's great.
My college one was not, though.
Yes.
All that to say, I will be asking every guy I go on a date with for screenshots of their bank account. Not screenshots. Open the app. I want to see you physically open the app. And I want to see how much you have. I want your social security because I want to be able to background check you. Like, it is just absolutely insane. And we haven't really talked about this, like, since I made you watch it. And I was just always just so curious to see, like, what you thought about this whole thing.
Honestly, it made me realize, like, you really don't know people.
You don't. I mean, that was the whole point.
You really don't know people. And, I mean, even, like he took her to where his grandma was buried, and it wasn't even his family. Like, there were so many things that I was just like.
It was a random grave. Like, it was a random grave.
How messed up do you have to be? The fact that, like, it was so meticulous to the point where he had an excuse for everything. He had receipts. He had the church that the grandma was supposedly buried at. Every time they tried to go visit the sister, something came up. Like, there was just always something. And that would have been enough for me. The other thing that I sort of was like, when people talk on the phone around me, I can fucking hear basically everything. Okay, these phones are loud as fuck. They are loud as fuck. So either he's got it turned. I mean, you can turn them down to where you really can't hear it as much. But for the most part, if you're sitting close, you can hear. So I'm like, either we had it like turned all. He had to have had it turned all the way down. Or she was so like in her own. Because I mean, there's times that I've been in the car on my phone and I kind of like zone out. Like, I'm just zoned out. I'm doing my own thing. Not paying attention. So that was the one part for me that I was like, I feel like I would know.
It made me realize how much I actually speak on speakerphone because I hate holding my phone up to my ear. Then I actually put people on speakerphone all the time.
And that was the thing that was like when there was that one friend. It wasn't even a brother. He said it was his brother, but it was his friend where he was like talking to that person on speakerphone. I was like, that's weird that like there's only like one person. But this is all after the fact. Like in the moment, I probably would have been like, oh, hey, so-and-so. But also – like, I want to meet your people. If we're married.
Yeah, she hadn't met, like, any of his family.
I want to meet your people.
Because they got married in the courthouse.
Mm-hmm. And I will give them the fact that, COVID was, like, it was in its prime.
Oh. It was in its prime. He milked the fact that COVID happened.
Because he said that multiple people in his family died from COVID. So, therefore, they didn't go anywhere. They didn't do anything. They didn't want to go to cookouts. They didn't want to go do these things. So, understandably so, if like four people around you died from COVID, I wouldn't want to go do it either. Just it's just so interesting and it's scary that there are people out there that like something is clearly wrong. Like, he checked himself into a hospital that he probably needed to probably stay at and get some help. So,
yeah. So again, every date. Every guy, if I'm dating the guy, like, and he gets on a phone call, speakerphone, FaceTime. I want to see the person.
I know.
I need to be able to go on their Facebook and fact check.
If I'm not hearing a voice, you're talking to no one. That is my new standard. If you are on the phone, talk. Because you know how, like, okay, well, I work with kids, and sometimes the parents will be like, I'm calling your dad if you're not going to listen. Hey, yeah, and you know, like obviously can't hear anything. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if I don't hear a voice, I don't think you're on the phone now.
I don't care if I even hear a voice. I need to verify that that is the person you said you're talking to. So FaceTime also is really that. The only direct way of communication that you can do.
Also that. It's really, is a huge, yes, yes.
Yeah. There are so many other lies that we are definitely not speaking on. And
I feel like we covered the big ones. And while they may have been out of order, so don't come for us because we were, you know, people trying to put up their summaries and it's hard to follow.
I was reading someone else's summary, not my own. I'm sorry.
No, it's totally fine. We got the big lies across. There were some very small ones in there too. But like, it was just one thing after another. And I was like, when is it gonna, like I was, for her sake, I was like, when is it gonna end? Like, this is awful. And yeah. I feel like it was like it seemed like a long time period, but it really wasn't. Like, when you break it down to like months and going to work and then him not feeling well and being bedridden. So like, also like my question for Legion is, what the fuck? He obviously didn't have a job at that point when he was bedridden, correct? Mm.
Because what the fuck was he doing? I believe so, correct. I mean, he was homeless at the time and just like completely unhygienic, not showering or anything like that. So he
peeing in Powerade bottles.
Yeah.
And that part sent me. I was like, oh my God.
But he was making enough money to not draw any suspicion the entire time because the bills were paid, the rent was paid, all of that.
Right.
So, yeah. And it was just, this whole time, it would make more sense if he was doing it to get her money, but he's paying for all this shit. So right. Like, you were just doing this for fun?
Well, and that was the part of her story that she touched on that like made me the most sad was that like he wanted the big reactions from her. He liked to watch her get excited and then take it away from her. And that is the part of the pathological liar narcissistic behavior that just absolutely feels so disgusting to me is that you're going to watch me get excited, like especially for the London trip, something that she had wanted her entire life.
Especially like, for the fucking BMW X5 with cognac interior.
And when he said that his work car was a BMW, it was like, let me just throw this in your face.
Meanwhile, she has to ride around this Nissan Altima.
Let me just like hold it in front of you where you can't reach it just a little bit longer. And that's the part that like when she said that, I was like, that is awful to like. And then that's when she stopped giving the big reactions and acting like she didn't care mm-hmm. because it was just feeding his
ego,
motivation and ego and to continue. I hope I never experience someone like that. And I feel like her story was like it needed to be told because I feel like a lot of people, even if there aren't self-esteem issues, but like there was paper, like there were so many things that made it seem that like she held on to the glimmer of like maybe he's really not lying.
And I think the thing that saved her insanity, because I feel like a lot of people would have gone insane, the thing that mm-hmm. saved her sanity was the whole time she was keeping voice notes.
Yes.
She was keeping these audio diaries. Yes. Which a lot of people were criticizing her for. Like, girl, if you're having to keep audio diaries, you know it's bad. But you...
People write in a journal. It's the same thing.
As someone who has been in a relationship where they were gaslit, like, mm-hmm. like actually, like not just throwing that term around. Like,
yeah.
You need something to tangibly hold you to reality. That's why she's able to recount all of this and why I can't hardly recount a lot of memories from that relationship where I was being gaslit because I my brain has just erased all of it. And so she's, yeah. because of these voice audio notes, like she was able to recall a lot of this stuff and just recall such vivid detail. And like, I can't tell you like a lot of stuff. I can tell you like the worst things and I can tell mm-hmm. you the best things. Mm-hmm. But the things in between and like the little things that probably had more of an effect on me than anything else that I just can't recall. Unless I seriously sit there and concentrate and try to recall, which is very painful. It's not possible because my brain's trying to protect myself from that. And when you're being gaslit, I mean, like the physical things is what's, like I said, going to tie you to reality and make you not feel crazy. So when you're seeing printed out sheets of a $750,000 mortgage and you're being told another thing, you want to believe the physical proof that you can see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
And I thought it was important that she shared it so that other, because I know other people are going through the exact same thing. And to know that you're not alone and that you're not stupid and that there is a way out. I just thought it was, I loved how she was like, my purpose in telling the story was to just help one person. And it wasn't like a, I'm just trying to like destroy him and like, da-da. And like, she was very respectful in the storytelling of like keeping identities, you know, on lockdown and not really doing that. And so I really appreciated that from her, but I also thought it was cool that like, she just wanted to help someone who's in the same boat
mm-hmm.
as her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So highly recommend.
It was worth it. It was a really good, it was also just like, oh, it mind blowing. Some of the links Legion went to.
There are so many survival tips I could give you, like for surviving a pathological yes. liar, like as somebody who is not to the same extent as her, but has dealt with them before. I mean, just grounding yourself in reality is really like the number one thing, because they're going to be very specific in their stories. They're going to have because mm-hmm. I think the thing with him, I feel like it could have been better if she, when she confronted him on some of the lies, even like, and I know that there was no reason, because with pathological liars, there's no reason.
They're just lying.
But like it when she said like you didn't go to San Diego State, if he had just been like, you know, no, I didn't go to college, but I told you I went to college because I thought that's the kind of person you would want me to be. Like you would want a man that went to college. Or like I know I'm a forklift driver and I say I'm a VP because I'm insecure about my job title and I want to impress you. I can't buy you a $700,000 house, but I like going to open house. She says that. I like going to open houses. Like,
I enjoy looking at what
the other
might be or what the other people are living or however she phrased it.
Because I also like doing that kind of things too.
Oh, yeah. Man, I go to hotel. We go to hotel lobbies of hotels we probably can't stay at just because of the aesthetic. And it's like, I mean, it's fun to do those kind of things sometimes. Yeah. It's fun to do things that you may not be able to do on a regular basis or I don't know.
Test drive cars even just to like.
Yeah, like one, maybe one day or just, I don't know. It's okay to like do that. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. People do that kind of thing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was just 1 ounce of like him feeling a little bit bad or like apologizing or explaining, but he's
still
the why.
Lying to this day about lying about still. He photoshopped a photo of him in the Netflix headquarters.
What?
You didn't know this? No. Dead ass serious. There's a photo that he photoshopped of him and the Netflix headquarters, saying that Netflix was going to give him the chance to tell his job. And I'm like, bitch, no, they're not. Like that is a stocked image that you photo. Oh. Like I said, this man is teaching Adobe Photoshop at the Atlanta Community College. This man is the professor of forgery at the Atlanta Community College.
No, I haven't. So I like saw there were things, more things past her story. And I was like, I have to get through the story first. Like I cannot explore the other things yet. But
so
it's one of those things where it's like once a pathological liar, always a pathological liar. Like I just don't. I don't know. I feel bad for anybody that comes across someone like that.
I mean, just I think if you try to confront them, they're just going to get angry and defensive and just double down even harder. As somebody who's tried to confront a pathological liar, it's really hard. They're never going to really – and I mean, the person that I confronted never admitted or added up to anything.
Well, and I feel like they're the type of people who – remember the details that they told you. Like they know their lies so well that they're gonna try to they believe it themselves to where they're gonna try to flip it back on you, like, no, you got it wrong, like no, 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 or like this was this, and like it is their identity. Like mm-hmm. they don't know who they are without those lies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So very scary place to be and person to live with. So yeah. Be careful out there.
And don't date anybody that's done arena football.
Stay away from arena football players. And so that does it for today's episode of The Gals Guide. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at The Gals Guide Pod.
Also like us on Facebook at The Gals Guide and become a Gal Scout in our Facebook community.
You can also hit us up on our website, thegalsguidepod.com, and our personal social media, which we will have linked in our show notes. Also, if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please rate and review. And then if you're listening to us on Spotify, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast.
So thanks for listening, gals, and we hope you come back for our next journey.